I want to tell you a little story about when we first got here as a family to the chapel. We were at a Thanksgiving event, and I got talking to Mike, and there was something about it that I got drawn into wanting to get to know this guy more. Invited him out to lunch, and it became a pretty regular occurrence. A lot of you know Mike and I get together for lunch about once a week, or we do get together for lunch once a week. And I have really appreciated getting to know him. About a year into that process, we were sitting at lunch one day, and he was working downtown. I go downtown every time to meet him. We had a hard cutoff for an hour. He got 1 hour to go. And we were sitting there, and I was asking him, what did he feel like what God was calling him to do with the youth? And he said, I really want to spend more time with them. And it was one of those moments that I felt God say, tell him this, and I was scared. I rejected that. In fact, it was so obvious. He said, what's wrong? And I said, bookmark this, because I want to tell you something later. I want to tell you what I thought, but I just need to pray about this. It just seems so crazy. Well, God was telling me to tell him to quit. That's a pretty awesome responsibility, and I ignored it. Well, I got back to work. About an hour later, Mike called and said, they just fired me. And I said, that's great! He said, you're nuts! And I said, no, bookmark. I missed the opportunity. And this guy's been living in faith ever since, and he's been walking through that process, and it's been really fun to watch how that's gone. He's a passionate guy that loves Jesus and ignites kids to want to do the same. And I really appreciate this guy. In fact, I've appreciated him so much that I've entrusted my precious treasures to him, my kids. And it's fun to watch them come home and tell me they've discovered something new that he just told them, that I've told them 500 times. But I don't know. It's God gives you the ability to say it in a way that they can hear it, and I appreciate it. So he's been walking in faith in this process, and it's been fun to watch how it's been going. And it's been great to see the treasures that come out of it, mine and yours, and the future of what this church is and what the kingdom of God is. And I've loved watching that unfold. But rather than me tell you about it, I want to have a couple of other people tell you about it. I'm going to invite Maddie up to start with.
Hi. I hope you all appreciate how nicely I dressed for my first Sunday here. So before I started coming to HSM, I tried a lot of different churches. I went to tons and tons, and I still go to about 3 youth groups every week. And I felt like I needed somewhere to serve. I needed somewhere that had anointed worship. I needed somewhere that had good, meaty teaching that I could learn from. And I needed somewhere with good fellowship. And I had basically everything at different youth groups, but I couldn't find anywhere where there was really good, meaty teaching that like taught on the things that no one else really wanted to talk about. And I just couldn't find that anywhere. And I was trying so many other different churches. And about last year, Juliana actually invited me to the anniversary thing that we had. And I was like, okay, so like I get along with people here. Like I'm accepted here. I feel like I'm wanted. I'll keep coming for a couple weeks. No pre-thought of how much it would mean to me. And while I've been here, like the teaching is so different than what I found anywhere else. The passion that the leaders have for every single one of the kids, we're high schoolers, is so much more intense than any other youth group that I've gone to. And, like, Mike teaches on the things that no one else really wants to, and he teaches from the Bible and different perspectives and ways that it applies to our lives that actually matter. And so that's what I've learned from HSM.
For those of you guys that have grown up in church youth groups or in high school groups when you were kids, One of the things that I observe is that I've never seen, and I did, I grew up in youth groups, and there were good things and bad things, and there were the crowds of folks that did the right thing and didn't. And what I found in being blessed to be a part of the dinosaur rider for our youth group, the old guy, is that there is none of that. This is one giant cohesive group pursuing Jesus. And to talk about that next is Lizzie.
Hey. So when I first came to HSM, there was a lot of people and a lot of people I didn't know. So it was kind of overwhelming seeing all these people and feeling like I was the new person. I was closed off. But Mike came up to me and was like, hey, what's your name? I want to get to know you. And was very outgoing. And it made me feel welcome. It made me feel like I wanted to come back, that somebody at least wanted me here. And so as I came back, the more I got to know Mike. And after a period of time, I had the choice to either stop coming to HSM. And as I was thinking over it, one of the main things that came up was Mike. His teaching, how he acts, how he interacts, and how much he cares over all of us kids. All of us, I feel like, have some point in our lives felt that our questions, our things that are go unanswered, are unimportant or dumb. But if I ask a question to Mike, he's not like, oh, why would you ask that? I mean, it's obvious. He would sit down and take everything that I felt important seriously. He took me seriously. It wasn't like I was a little kid. And that just, it showed me that he wasn't just another person who was like, oh, I like these kids. They're my children, I guess. These are kids that I take care of every Tuesday. These were kids that I actually care about. I wanted to keep doing. He wanted to just take care of us. And through camp and through all these events, everything he's been doing is just towards God. He's always pushing us towards God. These things that he teaches aren't just his opinions, or they're everything from the Bible. He always is just like, if you have a question, look at the Bible. The Bible has all the answers. It's the thing that you can trust the most. So as much as I trust Mike with everything he says, I also know that I can trust the Bible, and he will always push me in the direction of the Bible. You're awesome, Mike.
Michael Becker is going to come talk about transitioning from high school to being a youth leader. One of the things that's great is the discipleship. Come on up. The discipleship, the movement from a student to a leader and to an adult.
What's up? Hi, I'm Michael Becker. I'm the face behind those videos. The one that's always at HSM, but never in HSM. But anyways, I've known Mike for a very long time, but in the past 4 years, I've gotten to know Mike way more than I thought I would, and he's pushed me way more than I thought he ever would. And what I mean by that is, like, I have a unique position where I never actually grew up in HSM, because I had pre-commitments on Tuesday nights before, but once that ended, my senior year, I kind of transitioned to where I started coming, but then Mike was like, hey, we're starting this new program where it's like a Timothy group, where it's like Timothy from the Bible, you know, leader and trainee, LIT, Awana, whatever. so, like, you know, we're training new leaders, basically. And he's like, I think you should do it. Like, you should help us out. And I've already been doing, like, a bunch of video work and stuff like that for him, so he's like, you know, you'll fit right in. And I was like, okay, sweet. So I started coming, and I have more of, like, I am a leader, technically, but I'm not, I don't know. but I also have this unique position where I, like, literally see everything, because I literally have a camera. And, like, what I appreciate about Mike is, like, how much he just cares about the kids. He doesn't settle for, like, the normal, you know, he settles for the best. Like, when it comes to the word, like, this is not going to be a normal youth group. This is going to be the best youth group where you get the best teaching that nobody else is teaching about. And that's something I really appreciate about Mike. And just in general, he really cares, like, about, like, the camp. The first camp we had was like, great, let's do the first camp. Okay, then the second camp, it's like, you know what? Let's make this camp better because he just cares that much about the kids. And, yeah, it just, I don't know, that's my transition, and that's what I appreciate about Mike. So.
The caring aspect of it is what draws students across the board from a lot of different places, a lot of different church backgrounds, a lot of different school backgrounds. And one of the things that I've appreciated, and the person that's going to talk to us next, is come into the youth group because of the association from a homeschool crowd. The speech and debate crowd got invited, and we're overrun with speech and debaters now. Really cool. So we launched into apologetics, or Mike, you know, started a series on apologetics 18 months ago, maybe? 8 months ago. It's 18 months of teaching in 8 months. Did I do that okay? Okay. Yeah. Didn't seem like 18 months. It was okay. So Jaden Faria is one of those guys that is the speech and debate crowd that is able to speak for Jesus and has been brought in by that direction of invitation.
So the past couple years of me going to HSM, and a lot of the one thing that we talked about the most and something that we really focused on a lot in this past retreat was really what it really means to love God, what it means to love and walk with Christ, and how, you know, we can't put anything else at an equal or higher standard to him. Otherwise, we don't love him unconditionally, which he loves us unconditionally. And like to truly love Christ, we need to obey what he commands of us, and that includes doing away with the things that we enjoy in this world. That if he asks us to put these things aside, that we should do so joyfully. And you know, Mike has been a huge part in that area of the ministry. It really is amazing how devoted and how much sacrifice that he puts in this ministry. How committed he is into helping us with our walk and faith in Christ. And he's one of those guys where he will do whatever it takes to ensure that we are involved in the ministry if we want to. Like as Steve said, that I'm one of those people that was joined in from the homeschool group. Let's see, I'm one of those people who lives farther down. Like of the people who come to HSM, I'm one of the people who lives like farther away. And there was one time I didn't have a ride to one of the meetings, and Mike and Samantha, they drove all the way down to Chula Vista and to pick me up just so that I could participate in that one night. And I think, you know, that shows that Mike is a strong example, not just of leadership, but also of service. And that has inspired me, but not just me, but all of us to continue to walk in Christ, not just as a representative, but also as a servant. So thank you, Mike. God bless.
One of the truest measures that I could put for success in a high school group is your ability to launch faith-filled, Jesus-loving kids into their future. And so I wanted to wrap up by calling one person who Mike has helped launch. Nathaniel, come on up.
So I guess I represent sort of the finished product of what Mike does. I wanted to ask the question, other than the Anderson children, who has tried to stop Mike from making a touchdown when playing football? Okay, so I'm the only idiot in this room. I tried, and I failed. And a lot of what I know about Mike has come from an experience that he's willing to challenge people and sometimes to knock down things that need to be knocked down. In that case, it was me. I was in his way. But in a lot of other things. From the very first time that I met you, I think when you took me for my first slushie ever, and since. But a lot of conversations with Mike have revolved around issues that I held on to a little bit too firmly. I'm a born debater. I debated with people, and it wasn't until I met Mike that I met someone who was willing to really challenge me outside of my own family and challenge me on issues of faith. I will say, post-high school, that when I look back, Mike is a dangerous person to entrust your children to. The false constructs of faith that a lot of people have where they just adopt their parents' faith is something that he is almost an enemy of. And instead, he will challenge those artificial constructions of faith, the empty man-made structures, and at the risk maybe of sounding a little bit negative, be God's arsonist. He'll burn down all of the structures that are man-built and instead try and help you towards something that is divinely built. And what I've noticed post-high school again as a finished product is that I'm not a finished product. And from all those conversations that forced me to self-reflect because I couldn't gain any headway in the arguments that I made against him, I have to self-reflect and continually self-build, not from myself, but from a place of faith in Jesus, because he's the only one that can help build faith in you. So if you want to be comfortable and complacent in your faith, do not talk to Mike. If you want to be to not be challenged in your faith, not to grow, do not talk to Mike. But if you want to have growth, or if you want to almost painfully tear away the things in your heart that are built from yourself and built as a show of religion, if you want to tear those out as a painful process, then go talk to Mike. And that's something that you can trust your students to him for, is that their faith, when they come out, is not going to be your faith. It will be a faith that they've built personally between themselves and between Jesus. And that's a faith that can last post you being involved in their life as parents. Afterwards, it's something that can stand for eternity by themselves and between themselves and Jesus. And that's what Mike has meant to my life.
On that day that Mike got fired, when he called and I said it was great that he was, I also said, meet me at church in 20 minutes. And I was blessed to come over here, and John and myself and Bond was here. And we took Mike out to the gazebo, and we prayed over him, and I was honored to be a part of launching Be There When God confirmed with him where he was going. And today we're confirming again and taking that next step and recognizing what God's doing.
Cool. Thank you very much. I was thinking after, let me hit this here a second. Oh, it doesn't matter. That I would like to have Mike come and kind of share how God, like, okay, everybody heard. And I really do think the best evidence of God working in Mike's life is the people he's been working with and how he influenced them and how he's been a blessing to them. But I would like to hear directly from Mike himself about kind of, he can tell us his whole life story. He's got 5 minutes. but I would like Mike to come on up and share a little bit about how God's called you to where you are. So come on up, sir.
Also, best dress award. I've never worn sweats to church before. It's my swag, right? I was wearing jeans and all this nicer stuff before, and then they were like, you got to wear all the right stuff. And I was like, all right, well, sweats. And it's hot in here, so I'm not wearing my jacket. So I don't know. I'm flattered. And I think that, you know, when we gather on church on Sunday, there's been a bit of a focus. I'm not used to this this focus on me, and I don't want it to be about me. So, like, we're going to talk about, like, what Jesus does and, like, how that changes lives and kind of how he's changed my life. Steve stole my punchline, so I have to kind of build from scratch about the whole, like, getting laid off deal. That was tough. Ultimately, like, when we look at the scriptures, when we look at the Bible and what it means to be a Christian, it doesn't mean like build up this construct or build up like these different things in, and then we follow those different things. What it means is listen to God. And that's it. Like it is as simple as that, but it's so difficult. Like at the same time, like God gave us a bunch to listen to right here, and it looks a little different for different people, but I really think that it's really all about God, and it's really all about like what Christ did for us on the cross, what God as a loving Father does for us in adopting us as children, for those who follow Him. And I think that this is illustrated over here in 1 John. So take your Bibles, 1 John 2. This is one of the verses that we went over this last weekend. And now, I'm sorry, 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born in Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that they did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. It's true. We can at camp this last weekend, we talked about what's your and thing. As some of you guys know, I got married about a year and a few months ago, and you know, one thing that Steve said and like I've grown to know even more is like you can't plan for everything when you're married, when you're getting married. That day of, you know, you get engaged maybe. And you move forward to that day that you're married, and you can't plan for everything. And the thing that comes up with that is that what I've committed to my wife is that regardless of what comes up, I'm still committed to my wife in everything. That's the picture that we have here with God, is that when we go and we say, hey, God, I believe in You. I'm going to put my faith in You. I'm going to build trust in You that regardless of what comes up, I'm going to choose You. And what I want to encourage all of you guys with is that as we walk in faith and as we live by faith, it's God's going to bring up things. And there's going to be a fork in the road where you either need to choose God or choose to love the sin. Choose God and choose to love the world, because you can't have both. And ultimately what it boils down to is as things come up, God is refining you, and we have to keep choosing Him through everything. And you know what? He's chosen us, as it says just here over here in 1 John. I think it's interesting that as we look at kind of this day, like it's when John came and talked to me about this, it was weird. I didn't really know like what the purpose of it or anything was, but ultimately, like, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be serving, frankly, all of you guys, and I'm excited to be a part of that. This is like John's got a faith study that he's doing right now, and I think that as we look through faith. you know, first we believe. And then we have our faith in something. And we choose to put that faith in God. And as we build our faith in God, and we keep putting our faith in God, he builds trust. And then when something crazy comes along, when something crazy, like you get laid off your job and you're like, I need to go look for another job, like tomorrow, today, 15 minutes ago, it becomes easier to trust him when he says, no, I got you covered. And that's really what faith is I encourage each of you today is, you know, God is worthy of your faith. And he will build that trust with you. And as we go forth, when he asks you to do something crazy, like give up something in his name or for him, because he's asked you to do it, it'll be easy. Because you're committed to him. And I don't know what that looks like for each of you. I can't pretend like I do know what it looks like for each of you. But what I do know is that God is worthy of putting your faith in. And he's always proved that. Samantha and I, we are blessed to serve here. To continue serving more here, we left one of our other jobs this last Thursday. We used to teach dance together, which is how we met. And now we no longer do that on Thursdays to help spend more time here and help some more time with the church. Also, to welcome our child into the world in August. So that's exciting. Keep it on the down low. Don't put it on Facebook yet. Don't tell your friends yet. All right, we're still in the first trimester. It's just between us and me and my closest 200 friends. We're here and, like, it's all about faith. Like, God, like, here's a next step, right? I'm going to be a father and have HSM and have stuff here at the church and, all these different things. I'm going to be a father. And it's something I have no idea what's going to happen. But up until this point, God has proven faithful and we've built trust together. So I know that, hey, when I put my faith in him for this whole parenting deal, I mean, I've already been practicing with a bunch of minions. You know, they're all even wearing what I told them to wear today, right? When we're talking about this whole, like parenting deal, God will be proved faithful here, too. He hasn't proven unfaithful. And he never will. That's how God works. as we move forward, and as we, Samantha and I, HSM, the chapel at Grossmont, as we move forward, remember, God is worthy of being followed. And not just that, but he calls us sons. He calls us daughters. We're heirs to him. We are the closest to him. And that's beautiful. I had other verses to share and all that stuff, but really what it boils down to is when God asks you to take a step of faith, hey, maybe leave this job, start a family. Are you going to cling to the fear of starting a family? Are you going to cling to the fear of not having a job? Or if God's calling you to cut something out of your life, maybe convicting you of the music you're listening to or the movies that you're watching or the language you're engaging in or those types of things, when those two things come opposed to each other, God is the one you got to choose. Because everything about life is becoming more and more and more like Christ. And Christ, God, is worthy of putting your faith in. So I just want to encourage you all. It's encouraging on a day like this. I mean, it's kind of weird, having everyone all these great things about Mike. It's not really me. I just like talking about this. And being a narcissist for Jesus. I mean, that's cool, I guess. But that's really what it boils down to. It's cool, we went to a winter retreat and it took a bunch of planning. Cool, we've been to summer camp, which is actually the shirt I'm wearing now because we didn't do winter retreat shirts this year. We went to summer camp. We did the refugee outreach. We cleared all the chairs in here and did jousting. Which is pretty sweet. But like, yeah, we do all this stuff, but ultimately, this is what matters. This is what matters for each and every one of us. So I encourage you, as you put your faith in God and things start getting a little uncomfortable, continue to choose God. And when you want to hold to God and this other thing, drop the other thing and give it to God. And keep moving forward. So that's kind of what I've got. Yeah. Also, keep it off Facebook. Don't tell your friends yet. We got like 3 more weeks type of thing before we can start telling people about the baby. So.
Yeah, there's no way it could get out of this room. I just can't see. Yeah, go ahead. Just have a seat down here in the front. I'm not sure how you keep secrets once you get past 2. So anyhow, that's. You know what? One of the things that I've been really blessed, and I just to kind of piggyback on what Mike said, and I had some other things I was going to share too, but is that life is a walk of faith. We've been talking for the past few weeks, for this month, mostly on faith and what faith is and how to take a step of faith. And part of it to me is, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is, number one, I wanted to recognize what Mike has been doing and what God has been doing through Mike. But then also, I wanted to have Mike, just as for all of us, it's always helpful to have a little bit of an object lesson. Like, you know how it works? Take one step. I remember when the Andersons came to the chapel and we were over in that little elementary school across town, and Mike wanted to play on the worship team and really couldn't play very well. Not just between us. Don't tell Mike I said that, okay? But he was about 15, and they had him on the bass for a while. Then he switched the guitar. Then he did this. And eventually, you know what? He got pretty good at it. But, you know, but everything is one step. And you start with that. And then we had this guy in the church named James Senor. And James organized mission trips and groups to go other places. To mainly with China to teach people. It was an outreach, but it used the method of teaching people English to make a connection and then share the gospel with them. So he had a group going to Vietnam, and so Mike ended up going to Vietnam. And there the Lord spoke to him, and it changed, and he changed his major. He was business, and he switched to communications, and he had like a whole change in his life at that point. And then, you know, he continued on. And then he went to San Diego State, graduated, got a job down at Ashford, and it was going pretty good. And then he started, well, let's just start this. But like you say, he had been talking to me about, well, I wish I could spend more time on this. And sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for, because God can just give you more time. Hey, you want more time? Good, here's a pink slip. There you go. You got all time. There gives you extra 40 hours right there. And I've had that happen to me. And it's like, you know what? Well, Lord, I meant that until I saw that. And then did I really mean that? What did I really mean? And really, each one of us, we have steps of faith. There's something that God is working in your life today. And he's speaking to you. And he's saying to you, you know what? You need to take one more step. And you think, I'm going to take this step, and that's going to go here. And you don't know where that step's going. You just don't know. But you know what? Wherever God leads you, as you make those decisions Mike's talking about between, I'm going to choose whatever it is over here, whether it's security, whether it's, you know, the bunch of list of things we could all make, or God. When you choose God, you know what? He may take you to some place you never expected to go. But it'll be good. It'll be good. And God will do amazing things. And each passage, each step, each word that we speak, each thing we do or look at, it all goes to the next step of what God. And as we go, we're making decisions. Am I going to go this direction or am I going to go this direction? We make choices, and it has consequences, and they're real. And I do like that Mike likes to burn down constructs, and that's true. And we discuss things, and, you know, we usually we agree on all the theological stuff. The sports things, he's wrong, okay? But we do disagree on that sometimes. But anyhow, you know what? I wanted to just take a minute, and I have a little certificate I'm going to give Mike just because this is something that we probably could have done 2 or 3 years ago, is recognize that God was working in Mike's life and bringing him to this point. And also, some places and some ways, to have a church affirm that God is working in his life. God has called him to this ministry, and he's in preparation to give his life in this way. And so there's we call that licensing. And so I just have a little thing here that says, recognition of call to ministry. This certifies that Mike Anderson has demonstrated a call from God to serve God's people at the Chapel at Grossmont. And I signed it. It doesn't really mean anything. This is only talking about us recognizing what God is doing. And I wanted to, like, recognize and affirm that this is what I see in Mike's life. Does Mike have a ways to go? You know what? Everybody in this room has a ways to go. We all have areas we can grow. We have areas we're stronger in. We have areas we're weaker in. And you know what? But it really boils down to, am I willing to take a step and obey God? And if I am, he'll take you to the next step and you'll have another choice. And that's great. So what I'd like to do right now, just to kind of end the service, I'll let Mike to come up here. I want to pray for Mike. And I'd like you to, especially the men, to come up, put hands on Mike. And if you're there and it's going to be, there's too many people that fit right here in this little spot, I'm guessing. But you can touch somebody else or put your hand out. And then we're going to pray for Mike and just ask God's blessing on him and his ministry and what the future holds for him. And then, you know what? We're here for you, too. You have questions of faith. You have questions of, well, what is my next step? What does God have for me? Hey, that's what we're here for. We're going to continue next week talking about faith. And then next week's our last week on faith. Then we're going to switch to hope. We're going to have a little short series on hope, and then we're going to have a short series on love. And that's our themes that we're talking about. But anyhow, Mike, come on up here. And men, come on up this way and just stand right here, Mike. It'll be fine. Yeah, Samantha can come up here too if you'd like. That would be great because they're kind of a ministry team. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for what you're doing in Mike's life to bring him to this point. And Lord, as a church, we recognize your call on his life to serve you. We pray, Father, that as he takes another step of faith, Father, we as a church would take a step of faith to support him, to encourage him, to bless him. And Father, that we would serve together. And we would glorify and honor your name. I thank you for what you're doing. And I just pray, Father, that each one of us would look to you and would examine what is the step you want us to take. What is the step of faith you have for us? And, Father, that we would follow your call and we would follow that step. And we would go, Father, wherever your will takes us. We pray your blessing now. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.